At the offertory, just before the preface, the priest reads the prayer called The Secret, including these words this morning. May this our sacrifice please thy majesty as an act of praise and profit us unto salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our sign today is none other than the holy name of Jesus, which is why we are here and what we are about, for his name means God saves. The meaning of Jesus is Savior. Neither is there, St. Peter has just assured us, salvation in any other name. Well, there you have it. That shuts down all of the ecumenism of Bergoglio and the whole false New Church of Rome. There is no salvation in any other name. Jesus received his name with blood 8 days after his birth at his circumcision in view of his baptism of blood at Calvary, which would work out our redemption on the day of his death. Now, we were not there. He did it alone, unaccompanied, save by his blessed mother. But even her, before he died, he gave away to John and to all of us, his blessed mother, the co-redemptrix, accompanying as much as a mere creature could the great work of buying us back from sin and death. But I want to tell you this. He who redeemed us without our help will not save us without our assistance. At the offertory, we prayed that his sacrifice at Mass, made every Sunday, our sacrifice, may please him and profit us unto salvation. Exactly. Why, that's why we come every Sunday and Holy Day. Sunday, too, is our sign. What are we doing here, then? Why do we say we assist at Mass? The choir, you could see that, or the altar boy, certainly. But we, all of us here today, are assisting our Lord in the great work of our salvation. But what if we are not here through our own fault? He wants to save you, Jesus does. That's the job given him from eternity by his Father, to be your Jesus, your Savior. But you must assist him. And it is chiefly this, by assisting at this sacrifice where it is worked out at the altar, only in an unbloody manner, the Mass. Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? After Mass on Thursday, I read something on the internet. Somebody had said that, well, you know, you really shouldn't make New Year's resolutions. They're counterproductive. But I hope not, because I have one for you. Remember the plan, and the plan that guarantees success? Some of you weren't here Thursday, so I'll repeat it. The plan is so simple: to see any good solution, any good resolution, rather, succeed. The plan is the sign of the cross, first thing in the morning, and first thing when you feel weak and tempted, sleepy maybe. And then when you make it to church by the power of the cross, to find some cross in this church, and to sit yourselves down or kneel under it in its shade. See it, how he loved you, and how he gave himself up for you. What are we resolving upon then, this first Sunday of the new year? Well, we are going to make up our minds today, once and for all, about something important It is going to Mass. The third commandment of God Almighty, the first commandment of the Catholic Church, to assist at Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. The thing we want to make up our minds about is this. We must decide now that as long as we live, we will never miss Mass through our own fault. Once our minds are made up, the rest will follow. Have you ever noticed that when a certain kind of a boy or a young man gets to a certain point in his life, he neither fears his father nor, as far as we can see, loves him anymore? These are terrible words to say. Still, this young man limits himself. He keeps some lip back so as to show some external sign of respect because he is, after all, his father. It is the same with God. The sinner seemingly loses all love for our Lord. It is years since he has done his Christian duties, say, of confession and communion, and he has broken all of God's commandments with impunity. But still, he holds on to something. Maybe it is Mass for Christmas or Easter. Maybe the odd Hail Mary or sign of the cross in some pinch. And if asked, he may very well say, "Oh yes, I'm a Catholic," even though he hasn't been to church for so very long. I remember there's a family that left church, fallen away a long time ago, and with other, we would say, traditional Catholic children, there'd be a discussion, "Well, what church do you belong to?" And this girl, for the longest time, would say, "Well, the church that I don't go to, that's St. Gertrude." She was still loyal to it. And in that sense, somehow, she felt that link, lest she lose all respect for God and religion, because respect for the sacred is the last remnant of religion in a sinner's soul, long after grace is gone. But what does God say about it? What is the bottom line of the reverence we owe him? An outward sign, remember, of what is on the inside. In the old days, in a Catholic family or neighborhood or world, it used to be very simple, even for those who had lost their love for God, their respect for the church. You didn't eat meat on Friday, and the second great commandment, you went to Mass on Sunday. Well, that's all gone now, that Catholic world. But if you give up, I'm thinking today, your Sunday Mass, you and your children, where do you think you'll go, if not off the edge into the abyss? And if you, perhaps raised rather well by those who remember that old Catholic world, barely hang on anymore, what will become of your children? There's a curious story in today's bulletin about St. Bernardine of Siena and the Holy Name that got me thinking. It's about a farmer who had terrible trouble with his cattle and his chickens and pigs and so forth. An awful lot of sickness, an awful lot of death. He was an angry man, and he often cursed the poor dumb beasts. Still, he asked the priest to come and bless them, and Father did so, went out to the barn willingly. That reminds me that once, years ago, Schottbachers were having trouble with their dairy cows, and Father Richter, God rest his soul, went out to Clarksville and blessed them all, and then he hung up in the barn a St. Benedict's medal. And they say that for the longest time, they had no problems. Well, this farmer, this angry farmer, he had a neighbor who knew him well. There he was observing all of the events of the day with the priest with the greatest interest. When Father was finished, he said to him, "Father, I want to watch now, and I want to see who's the more powerful of the two." "More powerful of the two?" "Yes," he said. "Is it going to be your blessing or his curses? Which will win out in the end?" Fathers, God alone knows. But I do know that you contradict everything you tell your children about God and the Ten Commandments and prayers and going to church when you don't, through sloth. You replace the blessing of God with a curse on your own children. And the worst contradiction to all of the respect and the love that you do show God at other times when you're faithful. St. Bernardine, they say, this is in the bulletin too, didn't just go about reprimanding people who took the name of God in vain, telling them they had to make a resolution. No, he tried to inspire them to something higher, not to make them feel bad, but to make them feel better, a love for our Lord which leads to this respect in the doing of our religious duties. A resolution alone, without a plan, will never play out. In this positive approach, consider the good example which is still to be seen about us today, and which shames those who stay away out of sloth, not sickness or any other serious reason. Why do we have the 5:45 Mass on Sunday? Why, just for those who can't make, or don't, the morning Masses, to give them one more opportunity. Who comes to the 5:45? Usually it's a small group of regulars who I think perhaps just prefer that time of Mass. And then, more Sundays than not, there are the visitors. But very rarely are there any parishioners there who would otherwise miss their Mass. The visitors, why, they come from the other churches in the area. Sometimes they come with babies in arm. Sometimes they drive a great distance. They take the risk, these visitors do, of ostracism, of being outed, and maybe ousted, and certainly rebuked by their priest, and that perhaps at the communion rail. But they do come here to hear Mass because it is God's law for God's day. And they would not break it for the sake of men by missing Mass. Do you think you could borrow some of their respect and reverence, to say nothing of fortitude, and thus to bestow a blessing rather than a curse? Parents, why do you work so hard? Why do you worry so much? Why do you give all of your time and all of your money to the children who sometimes do show themselves to be ungrateful? Why do you do that, if not for love? Why then would you curse them by canceling the third commandment for them by your example of laziness? You are the last line of defense for the little ones. If you barely make it, what will become of them as they grow up? You are their chief sign. And why must the light, I'm wondering today, so often turn red come Sunday? Stop. No Mass, no sacrifice of the Mass. When you're tempted, don't let that bother you. Make the sign of the cross. Say just a little prayer, and then wait for it. It will turn green. That light on Rialto is awfully slow, isn't it? And sometimes you think you'll never manage to join 747, but eventually it does change. And so will you change and go to Mass for his praise and your salvation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.